Last night we mentioned verse 10 to verse 18. Even though God repeatedly warned them about the impending judgment, and they have suffered a lot, but still, the question is unanswered, which means they were unaware of why did God allow them to suffer. And this is the most important issue for the Israelites. They have to understand why did God allow them to suffer, so that they can deal with the reason of the suffering properly. Once they can deal with the cause of suffering properly, and the suffering will be gone. And the answer is because the heart is hardened, and then they follow the idol. According to verse 11 to 13. Now chapter 16, verse 14 to 21, the Lord will restore Israel. We can see that God is a God of merciful. Even one night, he was enraged, but the second morning, he is still showing his mercy to his chosen people. This is chapter 16, verse 13 to 21. And verse 19 onwards, we can see the prayer of faith of Nehemiah. Jeremiah chapter 16. Let me read it. Verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble, to thee shall the nation come from the end of the earth and say, our father have inherited none by light, worthless things in which this no profit. Verse 20. Can man make for himself gods? Such are no gods. Therefore, I will make them know. These ones, I will make them know my power and my might, and they shall know that my nation. That my name is the Lord. So the final purpose of the suffering of the Israelite is to make him make his name known to the Israelite. All the Israelite know his name is the greatest name, and he is a living and true God. Now that is the ultimate purpose. And chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1 to 13 is talking about Judah's punishment. Verse 1 to verse 4 is the sin and the punishment. Verse 11, there are some verses deserve our study. Verse 11, like the partridge that gathered a brood which she did not hatch, so is he who get rich but not by right. In the midst of his day they will leave him, and at his end, he will be a fool. Which means we try to gain, we try to pursue the material gain by unrighteous way. In a very short term, it seems we can be successful, you can be rich. But in the long run, sin, God does not bless, so eventually all the unrighteous gain will be gone. It will be gone from different means, by sickness, by bankrupt, and by any other means. So we can hold on our blessing only when we get it by a right way. In the eyes of God, we are a righteous person. So verse 11 tells us, do not be nearsighted. For a very short, for personal gain is very short period of time in exchange of long-term suffering. One of the examples, you look into Abraham and his nephew, Lot, right? Lot chose the best portion of the land. And Abraham was left with the second best. But if you look into the end of the story, did Lot really possess the land he chose? Yes or no? The answer is no. The whole city of the Sodom was burned into ashes. So he lost everything, including his wife. In a short term, yes, Lot have a best land, but in the long run, he lose everything. But we look into Abraham now. Abraham in a short term, he lose the best one. But in the long run, he received the blessing from the Lord. So as long as we stand by the side of God, in the long term, the blessing of God will overflow. But if we stand on the opposite side of God, in a short term, we can be prosperous. But in the long term, we cannot gain anything. This is verse 11. And verse 5 to 17 verse 5 to verse 8. This is a comparison between those who rely on God and those who trust on themselves. Those who rely on God, in short term, it may be in disadvantage, but in the long run, it will be like a tree planted by the still water. So you see a tree planted by the water, right? The tree needs long time to grow, 3 to 5 years to grow. But once the tree grow up and rooted in the river water, and then you can see the tree can bear the fruit in a very hot season and will never withered in the drought season. But for those who deserted God and rely on themselves, you can see verse 6. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come, and he shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. As what we mentioned before, James chapter 1 say anything perfect, anything good is coming from God himself. So if we want our life to be perfect, if we want our life to enjoy the goodness, peace and joy, there's one thing we must do. To cling to the Lord. Don't forsake Him. Don't desert Him. Cling to Him just like your belt. Cling to your waist. Let us cling ourselves closely to God and live a life to please Him. In the long run, you are going to see the difference. So in the family, you look in the family. The parents have many children. In a short term, maybe those children who are smart, more capable, seems to do a better job. But if you look into the long run, look into their middle life, and look into their advanced age, the life in the advanced age, always those who are closer to God, those who cling to the Lord, their family is the most blessed family. If you don't believe, we can take a look among the church. The parents and many children, eventually only those who cling to the law, the family enjoy peace. The family enjoy blessing of God. So you are in a very young stage. We have to learn. Learn to be smart. Smart with a very far eyesight, not with a very short eyesight. In a short eyesight, maybe you suffer, but in the long run, you will receive blessing. So verse 7 and 8, chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, According to 7 and 8, what kind of person will be like a tree planted by the water? Of course, here is one, right? The one who trusts in the Lord. Another one, I think last week during the prayer session we did mention. Anybody have a good memory? When we say he will be like a tree planted by the water, there are two kinds of person will be like a tree planted by the water. Verse 7 mentioned about one person, trust in the Lord. How about other one? Yeah, Psalm chapter 1, right? Meditate the words of God day and night. The words of God is God himself, and it has a spiritual life inside. If you meditate the words of God, then your heart is rooted in God himself. So it's just like a tree planted beside the still water, the root by the stream. You know, the part of the root is invisible because it's buried by the mud. But if you dig it out, sometimes the root is very rooted, very, very deep, 5 to 10 feet deep, and the nutrition comes from very bottom of the root, even though the surface of the mud is totally dry out. So right now you think about we have about 150 people here. You dig out into your heart, something invisible in your heart. You dig it out to see where your heart is attached. And it's very interesting. Where is the heart is attached? If your heart is attached to the Lord in the deepest part, you are connected to the Lord. Every day your life is connected with the Lord, then your life will be abundant, like a tree, very green and bear the fruit. But quite often, very superficially, we look very green. Very green, green grass, right? Like a beautiful, like a flower, very beautiful. But if you dig into the deepest part in the heart is rooted in the world. Just like this morning's sermon, right? All the thing, your mindset is desire. I won't have this, I won't have that. This is not good enough, I want to have better one. Desire of the good and desire of the flesh. The deepest heart, all your mind is thinking about that kind of desire. Then your life is going to be withered spiritually. It's going to have no power to withstand the hard weather, the troubled days. This verse tell us we have to take care of the root of our heart in order we can bear the fruit and show the vitality of the life. You know, this morning mentioned about the hairstyle, the way you make up yourself. It is a fruit. It is a fruit of your root. If your root is rooted in the water, then your fruit will be very beautiful. So if we rooted in God himself, very nature, your life has been transformed. You will lose the desire to dye the hair in colorful or lose the desire to dress yourself in very strange way. Because our heart rooted in God and divine nature satisfy our heart. And the divine nature transform our desire. So you have more desire to do something good in the eyes of God. You have more desire to pursue that kind of fulfillment spiritually. You have more desire to enjoy that abundance of God if your heart is rooted in God himself. But if a heart is not rooted in God himself, our heart is actually empty. It's drying up. When our heart is empty and drying up, the natural reflection is you try to use something outwardly to get stimulated, to get attention, and to get that kind of very temporary satisfaction. So yes, nobody can judge a person's spirituality only by outer look. But in certain sense, the outer look is a reflection of our inner spirituality. Just like this one talk about the root. You have no way to tell the root, where the root rooted. But in a certain sense, when you see the fruit, when you see the trees under the very hot weather, you can tell where the root has been rooted. So that is the reason in the book of Isaiah say, you have to take root downwards and bear fruit the upwards. There is a sequence. You have to take root downwards so that you can bear the fruit upwards. In other words, if you cannot bear fruit upwards, that means you did not take the root downwards. Your root is not rooted deep enough. Your root is maybe rooted in the wrong place. So we come here. Yes, you can pursue some kind of spiritual experience, right? You feel God is abiding with you. You feel you have been filled by the Holy Spirit. But I think that's not enough. If you only pursue this kind of momentary experience, and after you go back home, you still come back to your older self. We come here to learn. Learn how to take root deeply into the Lord. Every day. So we try to build ourselves a life pattern which will help you to be rooted in God Himself. So you are cultivating a life pattern here. You are not only coming here to learn some knowledge and you get 100 points in your test. The real test is after you go back home. Can you bear the fruit to glorify the name of God? So why? We need to have so many rules and regulations. I don't think this is only a very superficial sense. Because NYTS here, we have 150 people, so we need this kind of rule and regulation to make 150 people in order. This is a very superficial sense. There's something deeper meaning. The rule and regulation, you think about everyone, is good. None is no good. It comes out good intention. And this rule and regulation will help you to build a lifestyle which will help you take root in God Himself. For example, our rule and regulation say, when are you going to sleep? 11, right? And when are you going to get up? 7. And this is the best life pattern. Sleep earlier and get up earlier. Do you know you have the biological clock, right? And the biological clock will tell you when the evening comes, you fall asleep. When morning, at daytime, you get up. So God created this universe, and God created your body, and there is a clock to match exactly the creation of God. And this natural way is the best way. Even the food you eat, the natural food is the best food. Don't think that McDonald's or French fry, or you go to the restaurant, cook a very good food. Anything goes through the process, always the second best. The best one is the natural one. So we set the rule and regulation here. It's good for you. If you can adopt this kind of life pattern, sleep at 11, get up at 7, I think you will live 10 years longer. All right, you can be more healthier. Serve the Lord. So this is good. You go back home, you still adopt this kind of rule and regulation for yourself. Just like tracing, there is some tracing call, right? You cannot trace randomly, right? This is try to use the outwards to force you to pursue something inward. Superficially, because we want everybody to trace well, in a very decent way. The brother and sister can concentrate your mind, right? Just this brother say, look into a opposite sex, start to analyze the face and this and that. Get distracted. So when you dress properly, you will not distract the opposite sex. This is a very superficial sense. But in a deeper sense, When you go back home, you dress yourself and in a very decent way. You feel it's very boring, right? You want to dress something that looks different, right? No. And that is a reflection. My life is very empty. So we need, I need to pray more. I need to pursue that kind of inner fulfillment. So something outside will tell us something inside. And we need to have this kind of ability to have self-reflection and self-examination and to improve ourselves. The same thing. I believe we come here. Nobody have watched TV. No TV here, right? Some of you may be able to go online because you have this kind of wireless, right? But most of you are did not go online. And you think about the 2 weeks you did not go online. But what did you lose? Right? And this is something emergency. It seems you lose nothing. And this kind of lifestyle is a good lifestyle. You try to discipline us when you go back home. When you go online, you don't need to be online too long time. If you spend too much time online, it's a reflection. Maybe your heart is empty. Your heart is empty, so you have to get hooked online. So here, we come here, we try to learn. It's like a tree planted in the river. Chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. And verse 9. Chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperate, corrupt. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful above all things. It's corrupt. This is a general statement. Human being's heart is corrupted. Without the words of God, without the power of God, we all will gone astray into the direction of corruption. So you look into a child, and you look into a people in the age of 40 or 50, you will see that the feeling is different. Children are though very innocent. But when a person growing up, you can see the person become very complex. And this kind of complexity can be good and can be bad. If we understand a lot of things and we still stick in the spiritual principle, then it's good. But if we understand a lot of things and our motive become very complex, and we use a very complex way to cover our motive, then it's bad. So our spiritual nurture is try to make us live in a very complexity life, however, with a very simple-minded. And the simple-minded is to please God, to glorify His name. This is the most simple motive and with a very complex lifestyle. Just like Jesus Christ, He had to deal with so many people. His livelihood is so busy, but the motive very simple. I love the people. I want to glorify God. That's all. So human beings' hearts are very corrupt. And that's the reason we need salvation from God. Verse 10. 17, verse 10. The Lord searches the mind and tries the heart to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. So even people's heart is deceitful and corrupted, but the Lord searches the mind, which means nobody will be able to escape the microscope of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it means in the eyes of God, there is no what? Secret. Nowadays, if you are, especially after the online is available, so many passwords. How many passwords do you have? A bank account password, AOL password, your Yahoo.com password, this and password. You have a dozen of passwords, right? So eventually the best way is you symbolize one password. If you can crack a person's password, you can get access to all his account, right? Something like that. Why you have to need so many passwords? You have to protect your privacy. You don't want people to read your email and see your stuff inside your internet, right? Ah, there is a secret inside. But even you protect yourself with the password, God knows what is inside your email. Ah, right? In the eyes of God, there is no password. Everything is transparent. Ah, in the eyes of God, you don't lock your door. God still can see what is inside your door. So when we think about God can search everything and God know everything, then all of a sudden you find out, even you use a password to protect your privacy, your secret, you are locked to lock your door, but you still have to be very watchful. God know everything. There was a member went to Japan and purchased a pornography picture and went back home and locked in the door. Because he afraid that the children may know it, right? And knock in the door, in the drawer. But after he purchased like a picture, he prayed. The Holy Spirit cannot feel upon him. Pray, just no fulfillment of Holy Spirit. Lose that kind of peace and joy. And he even fast and pray, and still go nowhere. So eventually he went to seek the advice from an elder. And the elder said, maybe you have to repent to see anything wrong. And then he recalled, I purchased a pornography from Japan. So he repented and take it out and burn it into ashes. I really admire this brother. One of the Sabbaths after the morning service, and this brother come forward and tell the minister, can you give me 1 minute? The minister said, what? A priest, he pronounced, priest, pray for me. And he talked about all the sin he committed, the sin which he purchased a pornography picture. And after everybody prayed for him, and the second day when he prayed, he regained that kind of peace and joy, being filled by the Holy Spirit. So there is no secret in the eyes of God. Even you buy it, you lock in the drawer, right? God still know it. So this is this paragraph trying to tell us the corruption of human nature. But the wisdom of God, the power of God to understand everything. Now we come back to chapter 17. Verse 14 to 18. I forgot. Later on, this brother was ordained as a minister. chapter 14, verse 14 to 18. Jeremiah's prayer for deliverance. Verse 14, let's see, chapter 17, verse 14. Hear me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Verse 15, behold, they say to me, where is the words of the Lord that is come? 16, I have not praised thee to set evil, nor have I desired the days of disaster. Thou knowest that which come out of my lips was before thy face. So actually, Jeremiah was praying that ask God to rescue him and to heal him. In these days of trouble, he needs help from God. Now we come into chapter 17, verse 19 to 27. Hallowed is the Sabbath. Sabbath is a holy day. If you read the 19 to the end, going to see one thing very interesting. He talk about in the Sabbath day, you should not, verse 1, verse 21. Chapter 8, 17, verse 21. Thus says the Lord, take heed for the sake of your lives, and do not bear burden on the Sabbath day, or bring it in by the gate of Jerusalem. Verse 22, and do not carry a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day, or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy. And as I commanded your fathers. Do not carry burden out of Jerusalem. Do not carry burden inside the Jerusalem, the holy city. As what we mentioned, that Jerusalem typify what? The church. There is a holy city, the temple of God. So during the Sabbath day, do not carry the burden inside the church. What does that mean? Usually we live our life in the world where there is a lot of trouble, right? So 6 days we immerse ourselves in the worldly environment. So the seventh day we deserve to have a break from the trouble, the worry in the world. So the best way is when we come to the Sabbath in the church, we don't bring any trouble in the world to the church. Members maybe in the Sabbath day they bring the worldly news, where was a gunshot, where was a murder, and where was what, this and that, something unfortunate happened. Why you bring this to the church? All right? We come to the church, try to enjoy that kind of peace of rest. Or you bring the business news, which stock is up, which stock is down. All right? And the member heard about this, they feel down too. Because when the stock is up, how come last week I didn't buy it? I keep on regretting, right? And the stock is down, and then start to complain. How come last week I forgot to sell it? So you bring the stock stuff into the church, it causes a lot of people lose their peaceful mind. Right? Then that's no good. Or some of the church members, only a few cases, not very popular. Some of the members, they just bring the Chinese newspaper to the church in the Sabbath day. So after the lunchtime, open the newspaper, everybody was watching and reading. Newspaper, do you know? Can you find anything good in the newspaper? I think only thing good is on sale. That's all. But if the wife go to on sale and coming back report to the husband, right? My dear, I have saved you $300. I tell you, your husband is crying. You save $300, maybe you already spent $1,000. Right? Out of $1,000, you save $300. But to the wife, to the wife, I have to save more. But to the husband, you have to save more because you spend more. Is that a good news? You bring your family a headache. So, the best way, when we come to the temple of God, Jerusalem, don't bring the burden into Jerusalem. If we ourselves have some issue cannot resolve, we have trouble, what should we do? We bring to the church and pray and pray, and we trust it to God. Trust to God. So in the Sabbath day, let us observe this day by faith and trust it to the Lord. Don't be burdened. And this is a very important discipline. So Sabbath day, we should not only physically come to the church, enjoy the physical rest. Spiritually, we have to strive forward into the rest in the Sabbath. And this is the most difficult part. Spiritually, you feel you are really peaceful and joyful and enjoy the rest. So the first thing is you have to learn to trust your burden to God in the Sabbath day. Enjoy that kind of rest in the Lord. So if we only physically come and spiritually we do not trust our burden, that you are still sitting here and worry this, worry that, and it seems this is not the most joyful day. But if you know how to trust your burden to God, then it will be the joyful day. Then how can you trust, cast our burden to God? One important thing is what? Pray. And how long should I pray? You keep on praying and praying and praying until your burden has been released. And how long does it take? I don't know. Oh, it maybe take 10 minutes, maybe take 30 minutes, but you have to continue to pray and trust, tell God all your burden until you feel your burden released and you feel very happy. It doesn't mean your burden has been totally resolved. It means your burden already been taken care of by God himself. Now, so Sabbath day is a day of blessing. And there are a few things that I think we have to remind ourselves. In the Sabbath day, the best way is don't make any appointment. If you make appointment first, most of the appointment is worldly stuff, and that's against the teaching of the Bible. Second, the appointment will make you have anxiety. If your appointment is 4 p.m., right? All of a sudden, there was a preacher being moved by Holy Spirit and preached 1 hour, don't stop. What are you going to say? Right? You want to go out if you're embarrassed. You keep on watching the watch, try to remind the sermon speaker, but the person is so concentrated, they did not see you are watching the watch. If you don't have appointment, right, you just sit there, okay, thank God you did a so long sermon, right? It's a way to discipline my patience. There's another way to discipline yourself. So you can be released from burden. On the other way, in the Sabbath day, if you have no other appointment, you are able to spend more time to help others. You see a brother who has trouble, right? This brother may need long time you have to spend long time to listen, and then long time to talk, and long time to pray together. It takes time. If you make appointment, then you don't have time to help others. You don't have time to help the church. So once you make appointment, everything becomes a rush. Then you lose that kind of peace. So Sabbath should keep it holy. Of course, there is a different point to argue where is the beginning of Sabbath, right? Two ways. Some people say the Sabbath is strictly on Saturday only. And some people say the Sabbath should start from the Friday sunset to the Friday the Saturday of sunset. But regardless, if you consider Sabbath only the Saturday, but the Friday sunset is the preparation of Sabbath, it's still very meaningful. So what should we do? I believe, and I strive forward to this goal. Start from Friday sunset to the Saturday sunset. Don't get involved with what? Internet. Don't watch worldly entertainment. I think these two things are. And don't have a very long conversation with worldly content, with a worldly friend. By doing so, you are able to keep your heart very calm. You sleep earlier, you come to the church energetic. Do you know, in the Sabbath day, the saddest thing is you stand in the pulpit, you start to preach. It's already 11, and the members one by one keep on coming. You feel very sad. Why? This is a day of holiness. By coming in this kind of attitude, it shows no reverence to God. You know, a lot of churches, they start the service at 10 a.m. But still a lot of members come at 10 a.m. on time. But a lot of churches come at 11 a.m. But still a lot of members are 5, 10 minutes late, or 20 minutes, even 30 minutes late. Okay? If you say, okay, now, 11 a.m., a lot of people late, 10 minutes late, right? They push to 11:10. What is going to happen? Now we start at 11:10. Still have people 10 minutes late. So Sabbath day, we have to use a very reverent attitude and prepare ourselves ready. And the members who cannot get up earlier, usually because Friday evening they sleep too late, either watch late night movie or go out for too late to come back, or have fun too late. So keeping the Sabbath holy, I think, should start from a Friday evening. Another thing is, after the afternoon service, the best way is don't go to see the movie. Because this is still a holy day yet. So after the Friday, Saturday Sabbath service, some of the church only 3 p.m., 2:30, and all of a sudden a group of youth went to see the movie. And that isn't the right way to keep the Sabbath. This is a holy day. We have to respect this day as a holiness and separate ourselves from the world. If we were able to separate this day as a holy day, regardless of how busy you are from Sunday to next Friday, your faith will never slide backwards.